welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, bringing you Westerns in this hour. Later on, an entertaining broadcast of Gene Autry's Melody Ranch, but right now, action from the Cisco Kid with an episode called Manhunt for a Killer. This first heard in syndication on March 3rd, 1955.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho, Vámonos.
The Cisco Kid. This is the story of one of the greatest manhunts known to the West. For the hunter and hunted were both men of cunning and courage, both swift with the six-gun, and able to down another man with a single blow. The difference between the two was the side of the law each had chosen. One of them, the Cisco Kid, upheld and respected the law, while the other, Scott Clemens, defied and sneered at it. As our story opens, Scott and his henchman, Reed Larson, are behind the walls of the Arizona Territorial Penitentiary.
I swear I never saw a man in prison attack a rock the way you do, Scott.
Breaking them up, making little ones out of big ones, is a good way to keep in condition till I get out of here, Reed.
No way to get out of here, Scott.
I do, and I'm going to make my break the next time that guard comes around.
Hey, take me with you, Scott. I've been waiting for a chance to make a break, too.
No. I'm playing a lone hand. I got a long way to travel.
I know you have. I know how you feel about the man who's responsible for you being here.
Then you know that I won't rest until I kill him.
Sure, I know. I'm a good man with a horse and a gun. I can help you get him.
I don't need no help once I meet up with him.
Let me go, will you, please?
Shut up. Here comes a guard.
What are you two so gabby about? You want to spend a couple of days in solitary?
No, guard, we don't. But how would you like to spend the rest of your... Dead.
You sure got that chain of your handcuffs around his neck in a hurry. Here, finish him off before any of the other guards come this way.
There.
Hey, come on. Let's get on the move.
As soon as I get his rifle and his six-gun.
There's some of the other prisoners are starting to come this way.
All right, let's go.
Hey, there's a commotion at the far end of the rock pile.
I must have noticed the guard was missing. Hey,
what do we do now, Scott?
Get into these bushes. This underbrush will hide us.
A couple of mounted guards are riding toward us.
I'll head for the river.
We'll never make it across. I'll see us.
Not if we hide in those river weeds.
Come on, hurry. I am. I'm running as fast as I can.
Faster. There's the river. Just ahead.
Yeah, I see it.
All right, here you go.
These weeds ain't gonna hide us completely.
Get behind this log.
The water's up to my neck.
You can't still breathe. This log will hide our faces.
Yeah, it'll work. We keep quiet.
Here come those guys. Shut up.
Hey, Gringo, boy. Don't take no chances.
Didn't spot us. We'll stay here till dark.
Where are we going after that, Scott?
To my sister Flossie's ranch outside of Gunlock.
But did you tell me you killed her husband? She won't help you, will she?
She'll help me, all right. All she knows is that her husband was killed by the same man that put me in jail.
I reckon you know what you're doing, Scott. I'm willing to do anything you tell me. I just keep thinking we'll soon be free.
And I just keep thinking about the hombre that's responsible for me being here. And there's nothing will make a man stronger than hate.
You sure do hate that hombre. I wouldn't want to be in his boots when you meet him.
When I do, I'm going to make him pay for what I've been through. Before I kill him, he's going to suffer for every day I spent in these irons and for every rock I had to break.
And who is he, Scott? Do I know him?
You know his reputation, even if you don't know him. He's the Cisco Kid. When I'm through with him, that reputation's going to be on a tombstone.
We're getting near the town of Gunlock, Cisco.
Hey, Pancho. We should be able to see it very soon. Oh, there.
Look a horn now, hood. Why we slow down, Cisco?
Give Diablo and Loco a breather, Pancho. Oh. That was a hard ride we made.
It's a hard ride, Cisco, and not over yet.
Nor will it be over until we catch up with that killer, Scott Clemens.
What the name of the other one was escaped with that Clemens hombre?
Reed Larson. He is also wanted for murder as well as prison break.
But all the sheriffs in this part of the country get passes out after the two bandidos, and they not catch them yet. How's Cisco going to catch them, huh?
That Clemens hombre hates me and will seek revenge.
What do you mean, Cisco? What do you mean?
He is looking for me even as I am looking for him.
Maybe it's better if Cisco and Pancho join one of the passes but look for those killers.
No, Pancho.
No, it's no good.
This is a personal matter between Clemens and myself.
Oh.
He has let it be known that he wants to meet me in a gunfight, and I intend that he will.
Cisco thinks those two coyotes come to gunlock.
I think Scarp Clemens will try to get in touch with his sister, Senora Flossie Osborne.
That is Senora would think Cisco killed her husband, no?
Say, she refuses to believe anyone except her brother, Scarp.
Pancho, I think she tells you where to find her brother, Cisco.
I do not expect her to, Pancho. But perhaps I can get a lead on him through her.
Well, maybe she leads us into a dragos.
We must take that chance if we hope to catch Clemens and Larson. I will not rest again until they are behind bars. Let us ride. Hot yellow, come.
Go, go, go. Go now. Go, go, go.
This your sister's ranch, Scarp?
Yeah.
You sure she won't turn us in for no reward?
Don't worry. I know how to handle her.
She must have seen us. Someone's at the door.
Let me do all the talking.
Scarp, what are you doing here?
Howdy, Flossie. Well, that's no way to greet your only brother.
The sheriff's been around here asking about you.
What'd you tell him?
Told him the truth, that I hadn't seen or heard from you.
Good girl. Huh. Aren't you going to ask us in?
No. I won't turn you in, but I won't help you.
Come on, Scarp. We'd better get going.
Not so fast. We need help, Flossie. And we ain't leaving here till we get it.
What is it you need?
Ammunition and some food.
I don't have any ammunition. But you can have whatever food I have in the house. If you'll leave before Bobby comes home from school.
I clean forgot about him. How is my little nephew, Bobby? Ever told him about his Uncle Scarp?
You know I haven't.
Oh, not so proud of your big brother, eh? Well, we'll leave if you get us what we need. You better get inside, Reed.
Yeah, I don't like standing out here. Somebody might ride by and see us.
Tell you what, Flossie. Reed here will rustle us some grub while you ride into town and buy that ammunition for us.
I sure am hungry.
And before you answer no, Flossie, you better think of Bobby. We ain't leaving without that ammunition. You better get going.
There's nothing else I can do, Scarp. But if any harm comes to Bobby because of you, those posses won't have to catch you. I'll kill you myself.
Set your mind to rest, sister. Nothing will happen to your son. We'll leave when we get that ammunition.
She sounds mad. Are we going to leave?
Of course not. I ain't leaving here till I get the Cisco kid. And though she don't know it, my sister Flossie's going to help me.
Cisco, are we getting near to the ranch of the Scarp hombre's sister?
We should be close to it by now, Pancho.
Well, right in the back of us, Cisco. A little boy and a pony.
Say, he looks like he's coming from school.
I see the lunch pay and the books. Buenos dias, little niño.
Buenos dias, young señor.
Hello, Gypsy. Oh, girl. Howdy. Mind if I ride with you? I'm going the same way.
Well, we are glad to have your company, young señor.
And glad to have the company of the little niño.
Someday I want to get me a brace of guns just like yours. And I want to learn to shoot them, just like my dad used to.
Well, I hope you'll get a pair as good as these, young señor.
Little Nino's padre give him the guns when he grow up.
My father's dead. I'll get them for myself. I'm going to kill the man that murdered him.
Santos, that is violent talk for such a young señor.
Little Nino know who killed his padre?
You bet I do. I saw him do it.
Tell me, young señor, do you know this hombre's name?
Dry Gulch and Maverick is called the Cisco Kid.
The Cisco Kid? Hey, what you say?
Quieto, Pancho.
The Cisco Kid is a...
You say you saw the Cisco Kid kill your father, young señor?
I saw him with my own two eyes.
What is your name, young señor?
My name's Bobby Osborne.
Your father's name was also Bob Osborne.
Did you know my dad?
Si, I did, young señor Bobby. And I can tell you, your father was not killed by the Cisco Kid.
I don't care what you say. I know what I saw. That's what my mother told me.
Well, señor Bobby, Pancho tells you this.
One momento, Pancho. Tell me, Senor Bobby, what did the hombre who killed your father look like?
Well, he was as big as you are, mister. More 2.6 guns like you do. But his face wasn't like yours. It was mean looking. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, Pancho know that all the time. And Cisco not killed your father.
Don't keep saying that. I know he did.
Perhaps we can help you find your father's murderer, Senor Bobby. We are going to see your mother.
My didn't tell me we were having company. What's your name?
You will soon find out. Come on, let us ride. Up, Yabba.
Yeah,
As soon as you finish cooking on that stove, Reed, I'm going to burn these prison clothes.
I'll be glad to see the last of them. Hey, someone just rode up, Scott.
It's only Fozzie.
Maybe she's come back from town with that ammunition.
No, she ain't had time to get there and back. What brings you back so soon, Fozzie?
I saw Bobby coming home as I was on my way into town.
And you didn't get the ammunition?
No. Scott, you've got to leave here right now.
No, I can't do that, sis. Besides, I'd like to see my nephew. I ain't seen him since he was a year old.
But Bobby isn't alone. There are two hombres with him.
Maybe it's the sheriff, Scott.
Is it Fozzie?
No. It's Cisco Kid and his partner. Now you know why you have to leave here.
Cisco? I've been waiting to kill him, and you come back without the ammunition.
You're not going to kill anybody while Bobby's here.
You're forgetting that Cisco's a sidewinder that killed your husband?
I'm not forgetting anything. There's not going to be any more shooting on this ranch.
We can't do no shooting. We ain't got no ammunition.
Are you sure you ain't got some, Fozzie?
If we can't fight Cisco off, he'll take us back to prison.
Fozzie, you got to help us get away from here.
What do you want me to do?
Put on these prison clothes of Reed's. They'll just about fit you. Then get on your horse and ride away from here.
Yeah, if Cisco chases you, that'll give us a chance to escape.
Why don't you leave right now?
Because we'll get caught. Do it for Bobby. You said you didn't want to see him. Have him see no shooting?
All right. I'll do it. But only for Bobby's sake.
Get those prison clothes, Reed.
Head out.
Now, put them over your riding clothes and get going.
All right. When I get back, I don't want either of you to be here.
Let's get our gear together and make tracks, Scott.
We ain't going nowhere.
But you told your sister.
And I told you I was going to use my sister to trap Cisco.
How are you going to do it?
When Cisco's chasing Flossie, he won't be thinking of what's behind him.
You mean you're going after him?
I'm going after him, and I'll kill him with his own guns.
If you can get close enough to Cisco, you can bust him in half with your bare hands. You ain't been breaking those rocks for nothing.
In the excitement of the chase, I'll get close enough.
Ain't your sister liable to get hurt?
That's her lookout. I only got one thought in my head. To kill the Cisco Kid.
When the killer Scott Clemens escaped from prison, the greatest manhunt the West had ever known began. However, Scarf and his henchman, Reed Larson, succeed in making their way to the ranch of Scarf's sister, Flossie Osborne. Scarf knows that his sworn enemy, the Cisco Kid, will come there to look for him. Trailing Scarf, Cisco and Pancho meet Flossie's young son, Bobby, who is under the mistaken impression that Cisco has killed his father. When Flossie sees Cisco on the road, she warns Scarf, who sets up an ambush whereby Cisco will be killed. Now.
Well, there's a ranch house now.
Hey, Cisco, look. That hombre in the prison clothes ride away from the ranch house on a horse.
That is one of the banditos we are after. Come, Pancho. Hop, Yabba.
Go, 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 go.
Where, Pancho, me by calling you Cisco?
I have no time to explain now, young Senor Bobby. Faster, Yabba. Ah!
Faster,
Lobo.
Go, go, go.
Hey, wait for me.
Hey, young Nino Bobby and I can keep up with us, Cisco.
It is just as well, Pancho. I do not want him around when the fighting begins.
Is that the Scarf bandito, Cisco?
No, it's not big enough for Scarf. Must be the one they call Reed Larson.
We're getting closer, Cisco.
Watch out for that gully up ahead, Pancho. We'll have to jump it.
The bandito about to jump the gully now, Cisco.
Santos, the bandito's horse did not make the jump.
The horse fell down in the gully, Cisco. The bandito hurt.
Ho, ho, ho. That hombre was thrown clear. Do not think he was badly hurt, Pancho.
Cisco. That hombre sombrero, come up. That hombre, not an hombre, Cisco. Here, senorita.
Santos. The senora Osborne. Senora. Senora, are you hurt?
No, I'm not hurt.
What is senora doing those clothes?
Here, let me help you up, senora. Why are you wearing those prison clothes?
The senora not tell us, Cisco.
Could only be for one reason. She was sent out to decoy us so that Scott Clemens and Reed Larson could escape.
Look out, Cisco! That cop, hombre, jumped down at you!
You're wrong, sir. No, we didn't escape.
You are right, hombre. You did not escape. You are going back to jail.
You ain't gonna put...
You are?
as you're going to be a dead man.
Look, the bandito coming, just up. You take care of him.
You'll take care of nothing but a punch in the jaw.
You fat one.
And I showed you who you fat one.
Stop it. Stop it all. You stop this fighting. This gun in my hand means business.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. I wasn't figuring on your help, but I'm sure glad to get it.
Where'd she get that gun, Scott?
The senora grabbed the gun from Pancho's holster, Cisco. Pancho, sorry.
It was not your fault, Chico. You could not help it.
I'll relieve you of that gun, Flossie. I told you you're going to be a dead man, Cisco.
I'm not giving this gun to you, Scott, or to anyone else.
You mean you'd shoot your own brother?
I will if I have to.
Oh, hold it.
Don't come down into this gully, Bobby. I'm all right.
I'm going to help you. My mom. That's the man who killed Dad. The Cisco kid.
Bobby, go back to the house.
But aren't you tell the young senor that Cisco not kill nobody?
Don't tell me that again. I saw him do it.
But, Senor Bobby, you are pointing at Scott Clemens. I am the Cisco kid.
I don't care what name he uses. He's the man I saw gun down my father.
I can't believe it. My own brother. Bobby, are you sure?
I never lie to you, Mom. He's a killer.
You told me it was the Cisco kid, Scott, and I believed you.
Bobby's making a mistake, Flossie. He don't know what he saw.
I think Bobby knows what he saw.
Madre mia, that Scott Coyote can kill his own sister's husband.
Give me that gun, Mom. I said I'd shoot Dad's killer, and I'm calling
Bobby,
me.
No.
Ow! Let me go!
Stand still, you, or I'll choke the life out of you.
You sneaking coyote. If you hurt that boy...
Do what he tells you to, Bobby.
Not you hurt that young Nino, you bandito, you.
That's quick thinking, Scott. Hang on to that kid.
That's what I'm doing. Now, Flossie, give me that gun.
Let Bobby go, Scott. Please, let him go.
He don't mean nothing to me. If you want him alive, give me that gun.
What are you going to do with it?
Nothing. To you or Bobby, I came here to get Cisco.
Hombre, you have been making big talk about fighting and killing. I will give you the chance to back up your words.
That's what I've been waiting for, you yellow-livered toad.
What you do, Cisco? What you do, huh?
There's a big flat rock at the top of this gully. First, I will go up and lay my two guns on that rock.
Sounds like a trick, Scott. What are you going to do that for, Cisco?
To give your prison mate that gun battle he's looking for, if he is not yellow.
I'll take that gun battle. How are we going to do it?
I will leave the guns on the rock and come back to the bottom of the gully. We'll start the same distance from that rock and make a dash for it. Whoever gets to that rock first...
Gets hold of the six-gun first. You got yourself a deal, Cisco.
Cisco, not do this. He's too dangerous.
What about Bobby? What are you going to do with Bobby?
I ain't afraid, Mom.
I'll let Bobby go, sister, after Cisco gets rid of those six guns. And you get rid of the one you're holding on us.
Make her get rid of her gun first, Scott.
All right. There.
Now it's your turn, Cisco. Or I don't let go of Bobby.
Very well, hombre.
Can't you think you should not do this, Cisco?
You think you can beat him, Scott?
Sure, I can.
Now, Clemens, I lay these two guns on the rock. The grip of this one toward you, and the other one toward the place I will be.
That's all right. Now, come back down here, Cisco.
Take your hands off young Senor Bobby, Clemens.
Not till you get to the bottom of this gully.
I'm almost to the bottom, hombre.
So you are, Cisco. And here's Bobby as a prisoner.
Hey, do something, me around.
Cisco, look out. Bandito, push Bobby at you.
Santos, he's going after the guns.
Good work, Scott. Get them guns.
Out of the way, young senor.
Bobby, drop to the ground.
Can I get my hands on those guns, Cisco?
You'll not, only if I can grab your feet.
I'm going to hold me back. Not while I can kick your face in.
Keep Cisco busy, Scott. I'll go after those guns.
You'll not go after nothing, you coyote, you. Bandito, fight with his head. And get Bandito. Like
look out! Scott broke away.
He's got one of those guns.
Now, Cisco, I've got the gun.
And you will not get the chance to use it, hombre.
I'm going to blow your head off.
Not while I can hold your hand in the air like this.
Hang on, Cisco, but it ain't going to do you no good. That we shall see. I'm stronger than you are, Cisco. I ain't breaking them nuts for nothing. And when I get my hand down to your face, I'm going to pull the trigger.
You are strong, hombre, but that's strong enough.
Yeah. Twist that maverick's hand, Cisco. Twist the gun out his hand.
Quiet, Cisco. Go ahead, drop it, you coyote. That shot missed, but the next one won't.
My fist will not miss either.
And this, you get rid of that gun. I'll tear you apart with my bare fist, Cisco. I've heard all the talk from you, hombre, that I want to hear. Any maverick that hides behind a child deserves one in the face, one in the body, one in the jaw.
Golly, I never never saw such a fight in my life.
Bueno, Cisco, you give that chili what he got coming.
He's not half what he deserves, but the law will take care of him and his partner, and they will not escape again.
Hey, that's a good dinner you cook, Signora Flati. If Pancho never eat nothing so good like those chicken dumplings.
Thank you, Pancho.
It's good, it's good.
It's a pleasure to cook for a man who eats the way you do.
Do not encourage him, Signora, or you will have Pancho for a steady boarder.
I'd like that. Why don't you and Cisco stay here with us, Pancho?
Oh, I'm afraid we cannot do that, Señor Bobby, much as we would like it. I am glad that your opinion of the Cisco kid has changed.
I never met you in the first place, Cisco. I connected your name to Scott Clemens' face. I never would have shot you because I was really looking for Scott.
Well, you will have to look no longer, Señor Bobby, because Scott Clemens will never bother you again.
Yeah. Both those bandidos never bother nobody again.
When I grow up, I'm going after bandits, just like Cisco and Pancho. That's what my dad would like me to do. Oh, you teach me to shoot, Cisco?
When you are old enough, I'll be glad to.
Talking about growing up, a growing boy needs his sleep. How about it, Bobby?
Young Señor Bobby, like Pancho to tell him the story before he goes to sleep?
Boy, I like that swell, Pancho.
Bueno, Pancho, Pancho do this.
What story are you going to tell, Pancho?
Now, let me see, what story Pancho got? Pancho got a story, but he don't hear that. Pancho got the story. Pancho tell the story of the three bears.
The three bears?
See, the three bears. Once upon a time, there were three bears. Uncle Fernando Bear, and Aunt Mariana Bear, and little Maria Bear. Only little Maria Bear, she not so little. She weighed between 400 pounds.
But that's not right, Pancho. It goes, there was a mama bear, a papa bear, and a baby bear.
Yeah, that's what Pancho say. And Uncle Fernando Bear say,
Aunt Mariana Bear, why did you not cook the gooseberry pie?
No, Pancho.
No?
It was porridge, and the porridge was too hot.
The porridge was too hot. Uh-huh.
So the bears decided to go out for a walk so it got cool.
And while
they were gone, Goldilocks came along and ate the porridge. And then Goldilocks went upstairs and went to bed.
She went to bed.
Pancho?
Bobby, you put Pancho to sleep.
I guess Pancho is just a growing boy too, Senora Flossie. Pancho.
Pancho would like to go back to Gunlock someday to see that young Señor Bobby.
Oh, we will do that, Pancho. Very soon.
Very soon.
You and Bobby certainly had a long conversation before we left. Tell me, what did you two talk about?
Well, I told you. Pancho said to Bobby, young Señor Bobby, how do you like school?
Hmm? And what did Bobby answer when you asked him how he liked school?
When Pancho asked Bobby, how do you like school? Do you know what Bobby said to Pancho, Cisco? Do you know what he said?
What did he say?
And Bobby said, I like school when it closed.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
So ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid.
The Cisco Kid, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 3, 1955, a syndicated recording. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, by the time Gene Autry starred in this episode of his Melody Ranch radio program, he had already appeared in some 93 films and 91 episodes of the Gene Autry television show, with a radio program lasting through 1956. This episode of the Melody Ranch, called Wilson Valley Church, from September 20th, 1953, on CBS.
He's back in the saddle again.
Yes, it's time once again for Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. Your friendly local merchant who sells and displays healthful, refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum invites you to another transcribed Sunday night visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6 featuring Alvino Ray, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Tweedle-o twill, puffin' on corn silk. Tweedle-o twill, whittlin' wood. Sittin' there wishing he could go fishing over the hill. Tweedle-o twill, Tweedle-o twill. Oh, don't he look drowsy? Tweedle-o twill, nodding his head. I bet he feels lazy, clucking that daisy, getting a thrill. Tweedle-o twill, Tweedle-o twill, bobbing and weaving. Tweedle-o twill, wading in corn, taking it easy, out where it's breezy, better be still. Tweedle-o twill. Well, howdy there, friends and neighbors. Welcome once more to Melody Ranch. Yes, indeed, the whole gang's waiting to say hello. And chances are that hello will include an invitation to enjoy plenty of delicious, refreshing, double mint chewing gum. You see, folks, we always have an extra supply of that grand double mint gum to pass around whenever folks drop in. Incidentally, that's a friendly custom the visitors at your home will appreciate, too. Guess that's because everybody likes swell double mint. Yet it costs so little that you can enjoy it and keep enough on hand for both your guests and your whole family to enjoy. Why not buy several packages at a time? That's delicious, refreshing, double mint chewing gum. I like it. And now, here's one of the prettier current ballads. Seems to be quite a public favorite, too. Goes as follows. I saw half of a photograph, and it took my breath away. For that face on that photograph was my love of yesterday. Somebody tore that picture like the way she tore my heart. Somewhere I'm on the other hand. If you find it, you will see that her hand. smile she meant for me.
It was only half a picture. There was still another part.
But somebody tore that picture like the way she tore my heart. Somewhere I'm on the other hand. If you find it, you will see that her half of the photograph has a smile she meant for me. Well, thank you, neighbors. Many, many thanks. And now...
Howdy, howdy.
Well, howdy. And now...
Don't suppose there's any chance of borrowing a loan of a couple of bucks from you till payday, is there?
No, there's no chance of borrowing a couple of bucks from me till payday. And now I want to...
How about one buck?
Look, Buster, the answer is still no. M-O. Not a buck. Not a quarter, not a dime, not even a halfpenny.
Halfpenny? Well, why?
Because you're too lazy to work, that's why.
Are you kidding? Why should I work?
Well, so you can make money, for one thing.
Why?
So you can put it in the bank and save it.
Well, why?
So you can retire and not have to work.
Huh. Why go to all that trouble when I ain't working now?
I'll say one thing for you, Buttram. You aren't one to exert yourself unnecessarily.
Not if I can help it, I ain't. That reminds me, did I ever tell you about the woman running over one of our chickens?
Oh, when did this all happen?
This afternoon. Oh. I was busy resting at the time, though, so I didn't even bother to get out of my rocking chair.
So?
So the lady that done running over, she come walking up to the porch where I was rocking away, and she says, "I'm terribly sorry, young man, but I just run over one of your hens, and I'd like to replace her."
Well, that was nice of her. What did you say?
What could I say? I just told her. I said, "That's okay with me, lady, providing you can lay an egg."
You know, sometimes I wonder about you, Buttram.
You ain't the only one. When I was just a little baby, I was born at a very early age, you know. And my mama and papa, they didn't know what they wanted me to be. So one day papa said to mama, he says, "I know a sure way to find out." Well, sir, right then and there, papa put a Bible, a dollar bill, and an apple on the floor. And he sent me crawling into the room alone to see what I'd do. He claimed that if and I took the Bible, I'd be a preacher. If and I took the apple, I'd be a farmer. And if I took the dollar, I'd be a banker.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I know I'm very silly for asking, but which one did you take?
Well, sir, first I picked up the apple, put that in my mouth. Then I picked up the dollar bill, put it in my pocket. Then I picked up the Bible, put it under my arm, and walked out. So Papa says, "Well, what do you know, Mama? That boy of ours is going to be a politician."
Now, that's what I call a very wise observation. Say, by the way, did you wash the dishes, clean the house, scrub the floors, beat the carpets, hang the curtains, chop the wood, milk the cows and feed the chickens like I told you to do this morning?
No, but don't worry, I will. I'll do them. And I'll also shovel the snow off of the sidewalk.
Wait just a minute there, Buster. Huh? There's no snow on the sidewalks this time of the year?
No, but there will be by the time I get done with the rest of them, Josh. So long, Mr. Carter.
Well, so long, Patrick, old boy. We'll check with you again in a few minutes. Meantime, let's all give a careful listen to the Cass County Boys singing a brand new song called...
Oh, sweet mama, tree top tall, won't you kindly turn your damper down? I can smell those whole cakes a-burning, honey.
Caruso. rooster and a Shanghai hen. They run around together, but they ain't no kin.
Oh, sweet mama, treetop tall, won't you kindly turn your damper down?
Biscuits with the honey too, but I tell you, baby, nothing sweet as you.
Oh, sweet mama, treetop tall, won't you kindly turn your damper down? Turn it down, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. Mama, turn your damper down.
Oh, Cass County boys, you really wrapped that one up nice. Incidentally, speaking of wrapping things up, did you ever hear the expression, good things come in small packages? Well, sir, delicious, refreshing, double mint chewing gum sure proves that point for me. Yes, indeed, friends, with five sticks of that grand double mint gum in my hand, I know there's many a good thing coming my way. You know, neighbors, not far from right here at Melody Ranch is a place called Willow Valley. And there, nestled among the trees, is a church. A little church that the song you just heard the boys and girls singing could very well have been written about. Yet a church that might never have been built had it not been for a man named Cyrus Carter. However, as fate often wills it, Cyrus Carter didn't live to see his dream become a reality. As a matter of fact, it was just 2 weeks before the Sunday his church was to be dedicated that Cyrus Carter passed away, leaving his wife and son to carry on his work. And that's where this story begins.
I do hope I'm not keeping you from anything, Gene, but, well, you're the only one I know to turn to.
Believe me, I'm mighty flattered to think that you would, Mrs. Carter.
Well, I mean it. But I'm afraid this isn't something you asked for, like a church pledge. You see, it's about our son, Ben.
Ben? He isn't in any kind of trouble, is he?
Oh, no, not really. I guess being a mother, I'm just a little disappointed, that's all. You see, Gene, Cyrus's fondest dream was that one day Ben had followed in his footsteps and carry on his work. Well, now, since his father's gone, something seems to have changed him.
How do you mean changed him, Miss Carter?
Well, he told me last night that he wants to go away, Gene. He wants to forget all about the church. He wants to build a whole new life for himself.
I see. And can you think of any reason for this sudden change?
Oh, I only wish I could. Naturally, I don't want to force him into doing something he no longer cares about, but, well, I thought you might be better able to talk with him about it.
Well, believe me, I'll be glad to, Mrs. Carter. That is, if you really think it'll do any good.
I don't know, Gene. I don't honestly know that it will. But Ben thinks the world of you. That much I do know.
Tell me, is he still living at the house with you?
No, Gene, he's staying out in Willow Valley by himself. He's fixed up one of the back rooms in the new church.
In that case, I'll go right out to see him this afternoon. Don't worry, Miss Carter. Ben's a fine young man. You saw to that. He can't go too far wrong. And so, Ben, that's it. That's why I came over here to talk to you.
I guessed as much. Look, Gene, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my mother. It's my life, and I'm going to get out of it what I want.
No one's disputing your right to do that.
Then what's this all about, anyway?
Your mother just wants to make sure that you really get those things you want, Ben, that's all.
Well, one thing's a cinch, I'm not going to get them here. I've lived, eaten, and slept in a church all my life. I even went to theological school to learn how to become a minister, because that's what my mom and dad wanted me to do. But then Dad died, and somehow nothing after that made any sense. It couldn't. No matter how I added it up, I got the same answer. He'd given his time, his money, his food, finally his life to others. And for what? When he died, all he left was a mortgaged house, a lot of unpaid bills, and a half-finished church that's never opened its doors.
Aren't you forgetting an awful lot of people who'll never forget him for his kindness and help?
Maybe. But aren't you forgetting kindness and help don't buy clothes and groceries?
They buy a lot more than that, Ben. They buy happiness. And when it came to counting that kind of wealth, your dad was one of the richest men I ever knew.
Look, Gene, that kind of talk sounds good. Maybe it listens okay for somebody else, but not for me. I'm leaving here just as soon as I can get enough money to do it.
Okay, Ben. If that's the way you feel about it, I guess there's not much more I can say.
That's the way I feel about it. I'm sorry, Gene. I hope you understand.
Let's just say I wish you luck.
Thanks. We'll keep in touch, huh?
Right, Ben. So long.
So long.
Funny, isn't it? I mean, how much importance so many of us attach to the material things in life, and how little heed we pay to the spiritual things that many times mean so much more. Anyway, getting back to the story, on the following Saturday, I remember I was going over the current bills in my back room when all of a sudden... Hello?
Hello, Gene. Sheriff Dillon.
Oh, hello, Jim.
Get your boys together and head for Willow Valley right away, will you, Gene?
Why? What's up?
Well, some guy just held up the rancher's loan exchange here in town and got away with $5,000. We think he's headed out toward Willow Valley. I sent a posse out from here, so I figure if you and your boys head him off from the other way, we ought to make contact somewhere near the new church.
Right, Jim.
Oh, yeah. One other thing. Now, this guy's trigger-happy, so watch it.
Don't worry. We'll leave within 5 minutes.
Good.
So long. Willow Valley, huh? What's on your mind?
Some guy just held up the rancher's loan exchange in town and got away with $5,000.
What?
They think he's headed out your way, but so is the sheriff's posse. So I just called to tell you to keep your eyes open.
Oh, gosh, thanks, Gene. Thanks for tipping me off. I'll keep a careful lookout.
Right. So long, Ben.
Okay, chum, reach and freeze.
Who are you?
Never mind that. Just keep those hands up nice and high where I can see them.
Well, you must be the one who just held up the rancher's loan exchange.
Well, now, news sure travels fast around here, don't it? Yeah, I'm the guy, all right. And for your information, mister, there's 5,000 bucks in this bag that you're going to see that I keep.
Oh, no, I'm not. You won't get away with it. They'll find you here.
I doubt that. I doubt it very much. Especially when you tell them you ain't seen me.
Hey, what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to hide this dough in your closet. Like this. There. That ought to do it. Now, you got any grub around here?
No.
Don't give me that stuff. Fix me up something and make it fast. We'll be back as soon as I hide my horse. And, oh, yeah. Just in case you might want to call somebody to tell them I'm here, pulling up these telephone wires ought to take care of that. Now, hurry it up. I'm hungry.
Why, you...
Don't reach, mister. You're covered from all sides.
Oh, yeah? Well, you ain't taking Rocky Sims alive.
Let him have it, boy.
Well, sir, by the time me and the boys from Melody Ranch got out to the church, the excitement was all over. One deputy had been hit, but not seriously. But the guy we were after, Rocky Sims, was dead. The sheriff told me they hadn't been able to find all the stolen money, though. Said he figured the dead guy had probably hidden it somewhere along the trail and intended to pick it up later. But somehow that explanation didn't quite ring true to me, so I went back to talk to Ben about it.
Yeah, who is it? Gene, what are you doing out here?
Hello, Ben. Getting ready to go somewhere?
I just decided to leave sooner than I expected, that's all.
Oh. Kind of a sudden decision, isn't it?
Sudden? Oh, yeah. You see, I figured there was no point in my sticking around any longer. It'd just make Mom and everyone else more unhappy than they already are.
Yeah, I guess you're right at that. Oh, by the way, I suppose you heard they haven't found the stolen money from that stick-up in town yet.
Huh?
The sheriff thinks they may find it hidden along the back trail somewhere.
Yeah, sounds logical.
Maybe. Funny, isn't it? I bet a lot of guys would like to get their hands on that much money. Just think, $5,000 in unmarked bills.
Well, what are you driving at?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering what I'd do if I had that kind of money. Guess I'd buy a lot of things, but I doubt if I'd be able to sleep much at night.
Look, Gene, like I said...
I know. You're in a hurry to leave. Well, guess I'll be going.
What are you looking at me like that for?
I was just recalling a passage your dad used to quote ever so often from the Bible. It went, "What shall it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world and loseth his soul?" Well, so long, Ben. Take it easy. Sunday, and as Pat and I walked in to take our seats for the morning services, the congregation was just finishing singing the opening hymn.
Hey, Gene, look. There's Miss Carter down front all by herself.
Yeah, I see her, Pat.
Gosh, you'd think Ben at least would be here if for no other reason than just that his mom wants him to be. By the way, who's preaching a sermon this morning, do you know?
Reverend Lewis from over at Rimrock, I think.
Oh, sure. He's a nice fella.
He's coming out now.
Hey, Gene, look. It's Ben. I thought you said that...
Quiet, Pat, quiet. Listen.
Good friends, the subject of my sermon this morning was inspired by a favorite passage of my father's from the Old Testament. It reads, "What shall it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world and loseth his soul?" First, however, let us all rise and sing hymn number 146.
There's a little old church in the valley where I first learned of sorrow and joy.
I can see Mother there with her head bowed in prayer as she prays for her wandering boy. It was there that I first found my Sally, like an angel on earth, so it seems, when she sang sweet and low in the long, long ago, in the little old church of my dreams. She sang sweet and low in the long, long ago in the little old church of my dreams.
Oh, Mr. Arterby, just like always, I've had a wonderful time at our get-together. I just hope everybody else had as much fun as I did.
Well, I hope so too, Patrick. One thing's sure, though. All the folks here are friends and neighbors. So I've noticed they most generally like the same things we do. Which incidentally includes plenty of delicious, refreshing, double mint chewing gum. Believe me, that's something I'm always glad to hear because, to my mind, Grand Double Mint Gum is in a class all by itself. A swell taste treat and a swell chewing treat. It's mighty pleasant and satisfying to enjoy often every day. That's delicious, refreshing, double mint chewing gum. Well, good friends and neighbors, guess that just about ties all the loose ends for this Sunday night's Melody Ranch Front Parlor Social. But me and the whole gang will all be back again next week at this same time and over these same CBS radio stations. Incidentally, folks, beginning this coming Wednesday, September 23rd, I'm going to be appearing in person at the big Madison Square Garden World Championship Rodeo in New York City. Hope to see lots of you Eastern friends of mine then. Meanwhile, this is Gene Autry for Double Mint, asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right, back in the saddle again.
Yes, folks, next week over these same CBS stations, the Wrigley people will again present Gene Autry, who may currently be seen in his new Columbia picture, Pack Train. This is Charles Lyon. This program was transcribed over the CBS Radio Network.
Gene Autry's Melody Ranch on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from September 20th, 1953 on CBS. Wrapping up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.